Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So how many of you have grown so familiar with the walk from your apartment to the train or the walk from your house to the store that you don't even bother looking around you anymore? Our next guest is going to tell us how to see your surroundings with new eyes. Alexandra Horowitz. She teaches psychology, animal behavior, and canine cognition at Barnard College, and she's the author of Inside of a Dog. Maybe you remember that bestseller. And her new book is On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes. Alexandra, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks very much.
Should say welcome back. And listeners, do you have a memorable walk or a favorite walk around New York or wherever your hometown is that you want to share? And what opened your eyes to seeing your surroundings more openly? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Alexandra, what made you decide to take 11 different walks, the majority of them through your own neighborhood, with 11 different individuals?
Well, I am a dog owner, and in fact, I study dogs professionally, and I took many, many, many walks around the block with my dog. And over time, I began to realize that she was seeing an entirely different block than I was seeing. In other words, her block was full of smells. She was intent on whatever was coming in on the breeze. And I got infected by her perspective a little bit, and I started seeing the block as interesting if it had something like a lamppost, which my dog might find interesting. And I thought, well, what if I took the perspectives of many other individuals, not necessarily different species, but people with expertise or who are constitutionally different? Could they show me what they see and then enrich in my ordinary walk?
And your dog is all the way down there.
Absolutely, right. So sees everything from 2 feet off the ground.
One of the more memorable walks you took in the book was with the well-known illustrator, Myra Kalman, best known for her New Yorker covers, probably. Why her, and where did you two walk?
Well, she is a friend, and she also has, I think, a kind of childlike sensibility, maybe a mature childlike sensibility, which allows her to not be limited in her perspective. I think, like many artists, she sees the various possibilities in one object or sees something lovely and interesting and elegant about a couch that's been discarded on the sidewalk, whereas most of us just see it as trash. So we walked around pretty ordinary blocks where I lived.
And you refer to that as seeing with a creative brain.
Right. It allows her to sort of engage in divergent thinking. Imagine more than one way to see the same thing. And what we all do is just see the one thing we expect to when we walk down the street.
You took a walk with Dr. Bennett Lorber, a professor at Temple University School of Medicine. Why Dr. Lorber, and where did you two walk?
Well, he was interested in what you can get diagnostically from a patient without using any medical devices. So what does somebody smell like? What does their appearance or their presentation tell you? And I think this is something doctors have gotten away from. So when we walk down the street in Philadelphia, where he lives and works, we were viewing people as though they were approaching us for diagnoses. And he was able to say something about their health in many cases based just on that glimpse.
Listeners, anybody have a moment when you saw something that you've seen a million times before, maybe in your own neighborhood, through different eyes? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or can you think of a person in your life who made you see something visual through different eyes than you had seen it before? 212-433-9692, as we talk to Alexandra Horowitz, author of On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes. Let's see. We should not mislead our listeners and disclose that not all of your walks were with some kind of certified expert. You mentioned your dog. You also took a walk with your son, who at the time was 19 months old.
That's right. And he is expert, I guess, in having that childlike perspective, which is to say, not really already knowing that some things are uninteresting and dismissible, right? And that staring at people's knees is not a fascinating exercise, or the repeated motif of O's in iron railings and on air conditioners isn't something interesting. He notices it, thinks it's interesting, and he showed me.
It's like when you buy a kid that really expensive, intricate Christmas present and you discover all they want to do is play with a box.
Exactly. The box actually is as interesting as the present inside. And we forget that in adulthood.
When was the moment when you realized that you were, as you put it, pretty much missing everything?
It's funny. I think of myself as a professional observer because I view animal behavior professionally, dogs in particular. But when I walk around the block, I just see what I expect to see, more or less. And my description of what I would see is pretty mundane. In fact, my eyes are really not open. But I took any of these walks with somebody who could just bring my attention to one feature, the geology of the landscape or where animals might recently have walked in the city streets. And I realized that that kind of attention to one element was what I was missing.
DeForest in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hello, DeForest.
Hi, how you doing, Brian?
Good. What opened your eyes?
A little bit like what I was hearing the woman say before. When I'm walking with a camera, it changes the world around me because I'm looking at it very differently. I'm looking at it as a way of something that I might look at to photograph. And I've noticed that if I put my camera away and I walk for months and months and months without it, then it does, I find going back to the way I had ordinarily seen it. But the minute I start thinking about things that I might think that I want to photograph, it just has a way of changing perspective. It has a way of, you become aware of light and shadows, things that you wouldn't ordinarily think about because you're just kind of like walking on automatic. But if you're thinking about it from the eye of a photographer, mm-hmm. It changes everything around
you. It's such a great example, and it's something that I've experienced personally because I know that when I walk around, and generally I tend to be up in my head, I'm thinking about the show, I'm thinking about how to help my son with one thing or another, but when I have a camera, I start taking my gaze outward, and it's a whole other thing.
Right. You're looking for things to frame, basically, and you're also looking for things suddenly, whereas otherwise we're not looking at all.
And the framing can be limiting in its own way. A view through a camera lens or something that's going to make a good photograph is a certain kind of looking, but you're really looking.
Right. And you're looking at one type of thing. In all of these walks I was ignoring other things, but I was learning how to turn my attention to that category of thing.
Laura in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. What's your story?
There were two things that was brought to mind when you had asked your questions. One was I was walking through Barcelona with my teenage daughter, and we were in a really crummy area, and I was just sort of like hoping to get from here to there. And she's like looking all around, and she said to me, "Look at this graffiti. This graffiti is so different from what we have in New York." And it was beautiful, and I wouldn't have seen it except that she pointed it out in here, there, and everywhere. And then the other thing that really changed my way of looking at Manhattan and really the city in general is that I joined the local historic district committee. We're trying to historically district Morningside Heights, and all of a sudden, after taking a tour, which turned me on to the whole thing, I started looking up instead of just looking forward,
mm-hmm.
and that's really changed my perspective on the city.
Laura, thank you very much. Which reminds me of walking with tourists and how that can change your view of the city. One thing is that they look up.
Yes, and I think that the tourist perspective is an interesting one. I think we can take it with our own city. We forget that this is the place that other people come to visit. And when we go someplace else, which to the inhabitants is just an ordinary place, we're entranced with, oh, look at the width of the streets. Oh, look how the trees are so much taller, or the pants are so much shorter, or whatever it is. Those are things that are interesting inherently to us, but they're also right in front of us. I wish we'd look at them.
One more. Antoinette in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brian.
You started to see things differently with whom?
I was walking with my 17-year-old son. He's a football player, and he walks two blocks down the street to get his Supertrans bus in the morning, and he's loath to have his mommy walk with him. But one day I was heading out and I walked with him, and he began to point out things that he had noticed for the past 3 years that he's taken the bus that he thought I would like. Mm. And he was pointing out carvings of animals on brown stones. And these were things that he'd held in his heart as things that he thought I would like to see.
Macho football player with the artist's eye, sharing them with mommy.
It was magical.
And turn out, that's a great story. Thank you. So, Alexandra, of all the walks you write about in the book, was there a favorite?
Well, I think I have to say professionally it was with my son, but you know, also I really liked walking with a blind woman, Arlene Gordon, a wonderful lady who became blind halfway through her life, and she didn't feel like she had some other supersensory ability, but she really showed me how she used sound, almost echolocating sound, to create a picture of the space around her. And that ability, that sound, was something that I could hear as well, but I had been ignoring.
And, you know, there are several teachers calling in who we're not going to have time to take, but a photography teacher and a drawing teacher who say that's part of what they do, is they teach their students to see with open eyes and see in various kinds of ways. So if you could give our listeners one parting tip on how to take it all in and really truly observe their surroundings, is there one you could frame?
I think that I got the sense from all the people I walked with, so many more than who are actually in this book, that I could almost grab anybody, someone in your family or friend, and just get them to tell you what they see on the walk, and you'll see something new.
There you go. Whether it's a 19-month-old or a macho football player teenager or a dog, Alexandra Horowitz, who teaches psychology, animal behavior, and canine cognition at Barnard, and is now the author of On Looking, 11 Walks with Expert Eyes, something everybody's going to be able to take with them away from the show and use in their own lives. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.